Monday will mark the third anniversary of the death of Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. My brother Tom and I had the privilege of interviewing Mr. Rogers several years ago, and we talked with him about a motley array of topics, including parenting, spanking, the Great Depression, the nature of success, corporate corruption, Enron, and Eddie Murphy. In this week's full flashback, we revisit that 2002 interview with Mr. Rogers.
Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you, Brothers Gardner.
Let me ask Fred Rogers, when did you first come up with the idea for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
Well, it wasn't my idea. As a matter of fact, I went to Toronto to do a program thinking that I was going to go and do puppets and music, as I had always done here. And Dr. Frederick Rainsbury said to me, you know, I've seen you talk with children. I'd like to translate that to the screen. So let's just do that and call it Mr. Rogers. Well, that was quite a switch for me. I had never been on the screen before.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever think of your work as a business? Was this a career for you, something that you loved to do that you didn't think of as a career, or both?
Oh, I think it's always been a ministry for me. I've felt that what people really want is to be in touch with somebody who cares about them and wants to appreciate them. And so through the neighborhood, we've been able to do that a lot. I mean, we have wonderful guests, and those people who come to offer their own talents, it seems to me to be a great thing to do.
Let's talk about your new book, Mr. Rogers' Parenting Book. What one or two tips can you give to my brother, who I think overall is doing a very good job with his three kids, but we can all self-improvement. It's an ongoing process.
Well, I think one of the best things that we can do as parents is to remember what it was like to be a child. You know, get to know who the children are. Ask them to help you. Introduce them to people of excellence. And tell them what you expect of them, and expect their best, but not perfection.
And so let me ask, what do you think parents should be teaching their kids about money?
I feel that that feelings about money, you know, saving and spending, holding back and letting go, start very early in our lives. You know, stingy people have often been forced to give when they were very young, when they weren't ready. And generous people have often been really appreciated when they were very young. And, you know, I think it's so important to remember that everyone has something to give. Everyone has something to give. And everyone needs something to receive. There isn't anybody in the world who is completely self-sufficient. And there isn't anyone who doesn't have at least something to give.
You were born in the western Pennsylvania town of Latrobe in 1928. That, of course, a year before the stock market crashed and the Great Depression began. There are a lot of people today who are looking at their financial situation after what's happened with the market and reevaluating their priorities. What was your experience with money growing up during and just after the Great Depression?
I think most of us who grew up in the Depression are quite conscious of being careful with money and other things. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably the roots of my recycling start in the Depression. I recycle everything I possibly can find. You know, I'll stop my car and pick up a plastic bottle on the street and take it home to recycle. But when the tenor of the whole country is such that everything is limited, that sticks with you. Mm. You know, I was only 2, 3, 4 years old at that time. And yet you get those attitudes from the people that you live with, those who are closest to you.
Mr. Rogers, since both Tom and I grew up watching your show, we're well aware of you as a persona. That's why I have to ask, is Fred Rogers Fred Rogers?
My wife says it best. People say to her, is he really like that? And she said, what you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether you sense that from our visit here today, but I think the greatest gift that anybody can give anybody else, as a matter of fact, the only unique gift that anybody can give is his or her honest self. You know, nobody could give you, Dave, to anybody else. Nobody could give you, Tom, to anybody else. You're the only one who can give yourself to somebody else.
It makes complete sense, and obviously you have lived what you've just described. And I think when I think about back watching your show, and as I hear you speak now, you project such a sense of calmness. You create a tremendous sense of calm in the people who listen to you. Do you ever go a little bit crazy? Do you ever get angry?
Oh, sure. In fact, I wrote a song, What Do You Do With the Mad That You Feel When You Feel So Mad You Could Bite? Well, a little child said that once, and I get angry when I think that justice isn't being served. And to me, justice is taking care of those who aren't able to take care of themselves.
Mm.
So that's the kind of thing that can get up my ire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you ask.
Right. Let's talk a little bit more about justice just briefly. Some of our listeners may not know that you're also an ordained Presbyterian minister. And as someone who's spent your life talking about values, living those values, what's your take on some of the scandals that have played out in corporate America over the last few years, speaking about not taking care of the people that we work with in many cases?
Exactly. Well, what do you think it is that drives people to want far more than they could ever use or need? I frankly think it's insecurity. How do we let the world know that the trappings of this life are not the things that are ultimately important for being accepted? That's what I've tried to do all through the years with the neighborhood. You know, it's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now, the way down deep inside you. Not the things that hide you, not your fancy toys. They're just beside you. But it's you I like, every part of you. Your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new. I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like, it's you yourself, it's you. Hmm. It's you I like.
And let's close with our game, Mr. Rogers. It's buy, sell, or hold. We're going to ask you your opinion about a few things happening in our society. Ask you, if these things were stocks, since we do talk about stocks from time to time on the show, would you be buying, selling, or holding? An example might be, let's say, buy, sell, or hold broccoli. But we're not going to ask you that one. I want to know, to start off with, buy, sell, or hold, since mores have changed over the decades, buy, sell, or hold spanking.
Spanking.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to give you a quote from a very wise person. When we don't understand, we spank.
Enough said.
Sounds like a strong sell. And Tom, you and I were spanked growing mm-hmm. up, but I have never laid a hand on my kids, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure that I will. I think that mm-hmm. I think things have kind of changed.
They have changed. Okay, if it were a stock, Mr. Rogers, would you be buying, selling, or holding the television show The Simpsons?
I'm sorry I don't know that program. I know about it, mm-hmm. but I have not seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'd be holding.
It was one of Saturday Night Live's more popular segments in the 1980s. Maybe you didn't see this one either, but I'm sure you're aware of it. Buy, sell, or hold Eddie Murphy's Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Buy.
And why?
Well, I met him one time out in the hall at NBC, and he said to me, "The real Mr. Rogers," and he threw his arms around me. I think that Eddie Murphy did that takeoff with real affection.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously wanted people to know that that this was a neighborhood that included all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it has been.
Mr. Rogers joins us from member station WQED in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mr. Rogers, thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you, Dave and Tom.
So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? My television neighbor, I'm glad we're together again.